broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The state of Hawaii has said that President Obama...
You're skeptical every day, and then you go to church and you get on your knees and you pray to an incredible man.
In his speech yesterday, Speaker Boehner spoke of giving
no
government...
No person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States.
Fire. You son of a bitch.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, on the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch. Where we go through the looking glass and beyond to places other talk shows wish they could go, but they can't, man, and they never will. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We talk about issues, we talk about attitudes, we talk about the culture, we talk about it all, but we do it in a way that no one else can do it, and we join you here in our second hour with Professor Emery Clayton, and more to the point, we're going to be talking about Ted Williams, the homeless man with the golden voice, and he reunited with his mother today, and if you saw the video, I have no shame whatsoever in telling you that I had tears in my eyes. It was a very emotional thing to see this man reunited with his mother in New York, this very sweet woman who was all dressed up, and he was too, and his reaction to her, unbelievable. 877-876-PHIL. So Professor Emery Clayton will be along with us in just a moment to talk about that. And let's see. He got a voiceover gig with Kraft Foods? Did he really? And MSNBC. Okay. Very good. Kraft Foods and MSNBC. Dude, that is, and those are union gigs. So that's going to be some nice change for him. Our website, philhendryshow.com, is where you really get the full story of the Phil Hendry Show. This month, as a matter of fact, our video cast will turn into a veritable television show as we show you every night behind the scenes and in front of the scenes how we do this show. We have a one-hour uncensored pre-show. We do our three-hour radio show, and all of it is on video, even during the commercial breaks, even Phil losing his temper, even me crying, weeping, all the things that we do. You can see that as well as go to our archives, listen to our podcasts. It's all there at philhendryshow.com, so pick yourself up a backstage pass. We do have Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College on the line with us, and we have the story of, as I said, Ted Williams, this homeless guy. We'll get Professor Clayton on the phone here. I do want to play a little bit of the audio as well. It's quite compelling. Professor Clayton, how are you, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Why don't we hold the line here for just a moment, Professor, and I will talk to you in a moment. Here is Ted Williams. He is the, as I said, this homeless gentleman who reunited with his mother today.
Hi, Mommy. Hi, Mommy. Hi, Mommy. Hi, Mommy. Hi, Mommy. Hi, Mommy. I know I feel the same way, Mommy. I love you, Mommy. I just wanted to see you for the past hours, and it seems like everybody. Hi, Mommy. I'm home. I told you I was coming this year.
Hi, I don't look the best, but I'm home. I got a haircut. I love you, Mommy.
I love you so much.
Please don't be so
I'm not, Mom. I'm not. I'm through with it all. God, this happened for me. You always told me to pray. Yes. To pray. And I've been praying, Mommy. You know what's going on?
Oh, wow. And he called her Mommy. You know, I guess there's a sort of an infantile thing that kicks in for all of us. Here he also did the voiceover introduction for the Today Show this morning.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira. Live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
And welcome today, this Thursday morning, except for the fact I get the order of the names wrong. I thought Ted Williams did a great job.
That wasn't was his so fault. Good. That's the way it was on the script.
Professor Clayton, I just wanted to bring up, he's a Brooklyn-born man. He was a panhandler, hadn't seen his mother in 20 years. The man with the golden voice, embracing his mother. She called him the prodigal son. Professor Clayton, your feelings on this man, isn't it about rebirth?
Well, I don't know if I want to necessarily put a biblical interpretation on it, Phil. I heard the prodigal son reference, and I think that was something that his mother brought up. I will not deny that I thought that it was a emotional display, and I'm certainly aware of the fact that A mother and a son seeing each other for the very first time in 20 years is an emotional moment. But let's not forget, if we could, Phil, for just a moment, let's not forget the larger picture. And I think we forget the larger picture. And I know that you're going to take some exception with me on this. I don't like the media orchestrating these things. I don't like the media getting its thrills showing a black man living underneath a bridge. I don't like the media getting its kicks showing a black man having to panhandle change for whites that are driving by so as to get himself work or a haircut or a bath. I think that this is demeaning to the experience of a subsect of society that still has a very low life condition.
And well, certainly you don't begrudge this man getting a job.
I don't begrudge anybody anything, but I reserve the right to comment on how this all come about. Now, this brother has met his mother. He is apparently happy, but let's not forget something here. When the lights are turned off and the cameras are packed up and all of the big movie stars and all these people go back to their big mansions and all these TV reporters go back to another story, Ted Williams is still going to be there. And what will happen to that man? In all likelihood, he will be dropped like a hot potato only to hit the pavement and get back to that glass, we call it, I don't want to call it the dirty word, but we call it a glass phallus, if you will. Go back to that glass phallus, smoking that crack, and drinking all that alcohol. So what's going to happen to Ted Williams is more important than Professor Emery Clayton and what has happened to him.
Are you saying, Professor Clayton, we have Professor Emery Clayton here talking about Ted Williams. First of all, let me ask something. You have said that you thought it was very emotional, him meeting his mother, and he will be in touch with his mom.
I don't know that that's the case. So this man, the last I heard, this man's living in Ohio. Now, are you telling me that someone bought him a penthouse apartment or something?
You know, I don't know if they bought him a penthouse apartment, but I do know that he apparently has a job with MSNBC, and that is a network located in New York. So he would be close to his mother.
All right.
And he has a voiceover gig with Kraft. Now, voiceover gigs are generally one shot, and then they move on, you know?
Well, that's my point. So he's going to do a voiceover. And you say, well, you know more about it than I do. But Kraft is a what? Is a food company?
Yes, sir.
All right. So he's going to do a commercial for macaroni and cheese so some white children can get their macaroni and cheese. That you're trying to tell me? And this story becomes popular, even more popular, because here's this man who is saying to the white, yeah, you know, I was living under a bridge. Let me tell you white kids about your mac and cheese now. You know?
Why does it have to be like that, you know?
No, it doesn't have to be. That's the way it is, Phil. This story is only popular because it shows a black man going to the white man on his knees.
Oh, come on. You know, you're sounding like a cliche now.
No, sir, I'm not.
No, you are sounding like a cliche to say that this is the only reason.
It's not the only reason. You listen to what I'm saying, Phil. It's not the only reason, but it powers the story. It powers the story when you show this African-American man lifted up from this existence, living under a bridge, and now comes the white father.
What is it? Let's get to it. You resent any assistance from the white community. It almost is a throwback to, and maybe it's not throwback, it's a Nation of Islam kind of an attitude. It's a black nationalist attitude.
No, I'm not. Look at. Don't start wading into water that's too deep for you, okay? That's got... You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, hold on for a minute. I don't know what I'm talking about. You're saying that this guy getting this assistance, you've brought race into it right off the bat. And
well, why did you have me on your program?
I knew that you would.
Exactly.
And I knew that you would have a unique take, but I didn't know that you would devalue this story completely. Because we're talking about I'm getting sidetracked. They're showing some girl on TV with a really big butt, and they're saying she's fat, and she doesn't look fat to me.
Well, maybe you ought to watch the TV commercial, because you don't sound like you know exactly what you're talking about here.
No, I'll just turn the TV off. But the fact is, You say that this shows a white man going to the black man on his knees.
I don't say that it's the white man, it's the black man going to the white man on his knees, no. But I take that back. But I am saying, this story has no value at all in the popular media without the aspect of it that shows a black man living under a bridge. And how, in my opinion, there's some whites that get their kicks watching that man who lived under that bridge. Then he goes off and calls his mother mommy. Now, I have to tell you something. I understand the emotion that man felt, but it sickens a little something inside of me. And I want to be very careful, but it sickens a little something inside of me to listen to a black man call on the television, mommy, it. So I don't know, Phil. You can take what you want out of that. But there is something about this story that gives me the creeps. And maybe that's it.
So, in your opinion, this story... There's more. This story has no real substance. This story is about illusion. This story is about. excuse me, I've got something wrong with my throat.
You're watching that woman with the big butt on TV.
Hold on for a minute. I had to take a sip of the Coca-Cola, Professor. I apologize. I'm not getting sick. My throat just got dry. You're saying the story has no center, that this story is all about illusion, that this story is all about fluff, that there is no heart to this story.
No. I did not say there's no heart to the story. I said that the media has missed the heart to the story. The story is about a man pulling himself up. But the media, like this thing you just played now, with these white women sitting in a studio. And
there you go again with race.
I'm not talking about race. I am to a point, but they're the white women. Now let's have the black man do a trick. Look at it right here. I can cut his hair, I can put him in a suit, and I can stick him in front of a microphone. Now I'm going to do a trick.
Okay, hold on. I think you're really... You talk about devaluing somebody. I think you're doing it right now.
I'm not devaluing a man. I'm saying that the two white women did that.
We talk about the women on the Today Show?
I don't know. Whatever that was that you just played.
All right. Hold the line here as Professor Emery Clayton joins us. We talk about Ted Williams, the homeless man, reunited with his mother today. A very emotional scene. Apologize again, ladies and gentlemen, for having a little bit of a coughing fit there. But he is talking, Professor Clayton, about Mr. Williams in a decidedly different way. He's saying that this is a man who is doing the announcing this morning on the Today Show because it's a trick that the black man is performing for the two white women, and the fact that the media gets its kicks showing some guy living under a bridge. And, you know, we seem to be back right into the middle of all of this, that this is about race and not about the redemption of a human being, which I feel is at the very heart of this story. As his mother said, the prodigal son returning. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll get back. We'll play, I guess maybe we have a little more audio, but we will get more into the story of Ted Williams, the homeless man with the golden voice. Professor Emery Clayton joining us as well here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, we have Professor Emery Clayton talking with us about Ted Williams, a homeless man with a golden voice, reuniting with his mother after being apart 20 years. He's been hired to do a voiceover job for Kraft, and MSNBC has hired him to do some voiceover work. Professor Clayton is a teacher of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. What's wrong with this picture? You don't like it. Everybody is feeling good.
It's not that I don't like it.
But everyone's feeling good about this, and you're not.
It's not that I don't like it. I see through a different prism. And one of the things I do in my teaching profession, Bill, I have a lot of these young people come into my class, and it is my job to give them a new pair of eyeballs, if you want to call it that. I give them new eyes to look at the world. Because these young people will come into my classroom, and most of them have opinions like a lot of you people, like you do and a lot of you, the people that listen to your program. And what I do with the young people in my class is I say to them, you don't want to go out into the world looking at the world the way these people do. You want to go into the world looking at it a different way. So when I have an opportunity to be on your program, I'm not saying I can change anybody's mind in your listening audience, because I will be very honest with you, Phil. I think you're too far gone, and so are a lot of these people that are listening to you right now. But the students that I have, I can say to them, look at this Ted Williams, a black man. Now, is he a monkey on the end of a leash with an organ grinder? Or is he a man that's being raised up into a new station in life? You'd be surprised some of the answers you get. And I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, isn't it possible to look at it that way? Isn't it possible for me to look at Ted Williams, the homeless man, not as a man who was the prodigal son and brought home to meet his mother, but instead is a chimpanzee on the end of a leash held by a white man? That is,
you know, that I'll tell you what it is. It's an extremely explosive opinion. Extremely explosive. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. A monkey on the end of a leash, a monkey with a couple of cymbals and an organ grinder. Is there nothing in this story where, even though the principals involved are, it seems to be, the benefactors of Mr. Williams are white people at a radio station or on a TV show, but are these not just people who care?
I think they are people that care. I think they are people that care. I think they're people that care, but they also care about the love they're going to get from the TV station. I think they are people that care, but they also care about the autograph they're going to sign, because they brought this black man out from underneath a rock, because they found themselves this black man and got him out from underneath a bridge, living like a what do you call them that live under a bridge? You call it troll. They got themselves a troll. So there are a lot of different ways to look at this. Don't just look at it one way and get shucked and jived into believing that that's how it is.
877-876-PHIL with Professor Emery Clayton. Here is Alan in San Antonio. Alan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going this morning?
Fine.
Hey, I just want to comment about this Professor Numbnut there. I mean, what is your problem, my man?
Why don't you watch your language, you dumbass?
You see what I'm saying?
Otherwise, they're going to stick you under. You know what they're going to do? They're going to put you under a bridge, and they're going to drag your ass out someday. See how you like it.
Your mom over there, they have to
totally
effed up, my man. You know what I mean? You need to get fired tomorrow morning.
You call me numb. You already showed how stupid you are. You showed how stupid you are. You lost with the first words out of your mouth.
Everybody makes mistakes. I'm saying he can't make mistakes. I'm knocking him down. I'm knocking down the TV station
to put the black man on a leash. Is that what you like? You like the look
of
it, don't
you? You're also prejudiced. You are also prejudiced. I could tell in your voice you're also prejudiced. Yes, you are.
Against who?
Oh, yes, you are.
Against who? Against
you. You got no morals. I mean, you've got no morals. I mean, you have no understanding of life at all. You ought to be glad. Everybody makes mistakes in life. When people get uplifted, man, you ought to be glad for anybody that gets an uplift.
I don't make those kind of mistakes.
I guess you were born with a golden spoon in your mind, right?
You don't care about one up your rear end. I care about everybody else. You're really selfish. I care about you. The day they put a leash on you and give you two cymbals and a little bellboy hat, I'll care.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And it didn't cost you what you just said, right? Some people need
I'm going to ask you something. Because someday, I may be looking at you living under a bridge wearing a bellboy hat. Then what am I going to say?
Well, you know what? You think yourself living under a bridge. How would you feel about living under a bridge?
I don't want to live under a bridge.
Okay, if I lived on a bridge, I don't want them to put me on the TV station.
I guess you have never been through hard times, right?
You don't know what it's like to go through hard times.
I've been through plenty of hard times, but I never let Meredith Vieira turn me into some kind of a, what do you want to call it,
I don't know. You tell me. You are the best.
What do you call it? Turned me into, what do you call that? What do you call it that she turned him into? What's it called?
What do you mean, what's it called?
What do you call it?
You see what I'm saying? You're profiling, my man.
She called him a what?
What do you mean she called him a what? He did the announcing.
Oh, the bellboy hat.
You know what, brother?
If I ever see you.
All right, hold on. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Here in the world famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk to Professor Emery Clayton about Ted Williams, the homeless man with the golden voice. It was today that he was reunited with his mother, and it was quite an emotional thing. He called her mommy, and he hugged her, and then he was on the Today Show, I think, before that, and did the announcing on the Today Show. This man, he's been through quite a run here over the last couple of weeks, from being homeless to suddenly national television and meeting his mother. And with me is Professor Emery Clayton. Guy asked the question. You wanted to answer that, the last caller?
Yeah, I want to answer that. The man said he did that. That man asked me had I ever been down on my luck. And I wasn't about to take the bait and spill my life story to him, because he called me numbnut or whatever he called me. So I'm not about to lay my story out to that brother who had no respect for the things that I was trying to say. The things I'm trying to say is simply this. I got a young man here I'm looking on television. This young man is Ted Williams. I say young man. He's 53. He's a young man. And that man crying to his mother and getting on television and doing the hoochie coo and the funky chicken too for that couple of white women. Let me tell you something, my friend. That's not for us. Now, I looked on TV the other day. What do I see? Every time I turn around, I'm looking at a little white girl. She had a drug problem here. I look at another white man, that Lindsay Lohan girl. You know who she is.
Yeah.
And that Robert Downey Jr., you know who he is, right?
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of people have a lot of problems.
Yeah, a lot of people have a lot of problems. You know, and every time I'm looking, all these white people with their crack cocaine and their heroin and all of this. Now, I had a drug problem, too. I was living on the street. I did things, and I can tell you that I did things and went places that I cannot talk about. That's how vile they are. I went places and I did things that I will not talk about, because you will not want to. I don't think the people will be able to keep their dinner down. Now, do you think I'm going to go on television and go, hey, mommy, hi, mama, hi, mama, all of that? And what about, I'm looking at a list here, Courtney Love, a heroin addict, Eddie Van Halen. He got a cocaine problem, had part of his tongue taken out. So he talking like a stumbling, muttering. You got Drew Barrymore, not a little white girl. Do you see any of them living under a bridge? No, you don't see that. You want to know why? Because those people have got all kind of support system. Now, here comes a brother, had to pick himself up. And I'm supposed to believe that he got some job from Meredith Vieira, giving him a bellboy hat. And
where are you getting this bellboy hat thing?
That dancing monkey. And Gary Busey, there's another one. Here's a white man all over Twitter with his smart-ass drug addict, a no-count white trash. Now, when I was living on the street, and I had a drug problem, and I was a criminal, and I was a pimp, I did a lot of things. But when I finally cleaned up, I cleaned up the Emery Clayton way. I didn't need no help.
Look at Emery, I'm not...
Hold on for a minute. I didn't need no help. I didn't have to put on a bellboy hat. And then you talk about, what's that other, Eminem, this white boy, all these hip-hop artists love this white man. He's addicted to sleep medication. This kid, this Eminem, is addicted to no-dos. You imagine what a candy-ass, no-count white boy he is. He
what do you mean he's addicted to no-dos?
He's addicted to some over-the-counter speed. Taking that no-dos or whatever they take.
So, who, Eminem?
Yeah, Eminem. You didn't read about that.
No, I didn't read about that.
This guy is such a lightweight that he's got a no-dos problem. Now, let me say this about where we're going here. You can do anything you want, but don't tell me that this man is not being treated differently, almost like he's some kind of a prize pony.
Well, you know, I got to...
Now, hold on for a minute. You don't think he's being treated differently?
I will tell you this. Courtney Love or Drew Barrymore or Gary Busey, none of them are living under bridges, okay?
No, they weren't, but Michael Jackson wasn't living under a bridge either, and he was treated like a freak. You know that as well as I do, don't you?
Well, I don't know what you mean by a freak. I mean, I think...
You know as well as I do the man's treated like a freak. Same thing with this Ted Williams. So you take that white boy, Eminem, and he's addicted to Midol or Motrin or whatever the hell.
What do you mean Midol?
He's got some lightweight drug addict. The point I'm making here is when Ted Williams and all the TV cameras are shut off, Ted Williams by himself, all them white people are going to... They're going to all fade away. He'll be sitting there by himself in the dark. He'll be sitting there by himself in the dark. All them white people will have faded away. They will all have melted away. And it'll just be Ted Williams sitting there in the dark. And the only way anybody will know he's there is if he smiles. And that Rush Limbaugh...
All right, I understand, okay?
That Oxycontin.
I understand. I only hope, and I'll bet you money, that it doesn't happen like that. The one guy that he's got to rely on is himself. The one guy that cannot let him down is himself. He can't go back to the drugs. He can't go back to the booze. He can't go back to the life. He has to stay away from it.
Well, no thanks to you.
What am I going to do to the guy?
Well, you're gonna treat him like that freak. You're going to want to go in there and say, hey, where's Ted Williams? Put that bellboy hat on him and let me see him bang them cymbals together.
Yeah.
Did I say Rush Limbaugh Oxycontin?
Yes, you did say Rush Limbaugh Oxycontin, okay.
But where would a white man be if Ted Williams or Ted Bell fails and goes back to the drugs? What happens if Ted Bell goes back to his drugs? They ain't going to put him in Betty Ford. They'll mock him and throw him out on the street. Show he's a failure. But Ted Bell, he'll go to Betty Ford Clinic, beat up a couple of attendants, and still people will kiss him.
Get out of here. All right. We'll take a break and be back. Our news hour coming up. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Still to come, a UFC Ted Bell. We'll beat up a couple of attendants at Betty Ford. Still to come, a UFC fighter gets a visit from the Secret Service after saying he wants to fight President Obama. Plus, the news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here on the world famous Phil Hendry. Is he on the line?
Here.
Ted?
Yeah, that's Ted Bell. What do you say?
We'll get to you later. Thank you. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Saturday night, we're back from our Christmas vacation. Saturday night, we will be on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio in Los Angeles, and also on our video cast, we'll have our KFI show as well. You can join us at philhendryshow.com to watch our live video cast every night. Now a six-night-a-week phenomenon. And what, Bud?
You know, people saying are getting echo and everything.
Don't worry about the technical stuff. We'll work it out, okay? We'll work it out, baby. All right. Bill O'Reilly says oceanic tides are caused by God, and there's no explanation. Did you know that, Robert?
You can explain why there are tides.
Scientific.
Yeah.
Well, Bill O'Reilly apparently either forgot or didn't know, or I don't know. Bill O'Reilly is a fascinating guy. In the hallowed halls of the media, where we work, inner sanctum. What the hell was that, man?
Right at that restaurant, he's talking about how you put a bellboy hat on him.
But turn off the restaurant. Did he hang the phone up?
Uh-uh.
That was Professor Clayton, okay?
That's funny. You talk about being a monkey with a symbol.
Yeah, I'll bet you thought it was funny, okay? But I didn't think it was funny at all. Putting a bellboy hat on. You know, all he did was degrade that man. He wasn't successful, though. What did you think of that, Robert?
Well, you asked me, because I'm black?
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
What do you mean you thought it was good?
I mean, I like the Ted Williams guy.
Okay. Now then, Bill O'Reilly says oceanic tides are caused by God, forgets the basic scientific explanation. Now, Bill O'Reilly, as I said, is a guy who is, you know, in the inner sanctum of news and talk radio and all that jazz. He's, most people, even conservatives consider him to be a little on the dumb side. He's not the brightest bulb on the tree. There's no, you know, you can talk to cats that are dyed-in-the-wool conservative people, and they'll say, O'Reilly, you know, he blew it big when he said that the Malmedy massacre was caused by the U.S. Army. So right there, it tells you, you know, what?
What's that?
The Malmedy massacre happened in World War II. The SS slaughtered some American soldiers.
Oh, okay.
And O'Reilly said it was caused by the Americans. It was actually Germans. So right there was a glaring example of, and I have to hand it to Keith Oberfuhrer, because he said if you ever want to get one of O'Reilly's people off your back, if you've, you know, got the guy with the microphone sticking on your face, just ask, hey, how's Bill doing with that studying up on Malmedy? You know, and surely they'll edit it out. But anyway, what causes oceanic tides to crest and fall? According to conservative opinion host Bill O'Reilly, it's a mystery. Here is O'Reilly talking to atheist David Silverman on the show today, and man, they got their money's worth out of this poor guy today. Here he is talking to David Silverman. He says he believes in God because no one can explain why tides crest and fall.
You're skeptical every day, and then you go to church and you get on your knees and you pray to an invisible man in the sky.
Invisible man in the sky.
You don't think that's a scam?
No, I don't. I'll tell you why it's not a scam, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Right? Tide goes in, tide goes out. Never a miscommunication. You can't explain that. You can explain why the tide goes in.
Tide goes in, tide goes out.
See the water, the tide comes in and it goes out, Mr. Silverman.
Maybe a score on top of Mount Olympus, who's making the tides go in and out.
No, but you can't explain that.
A scam and a myth are the same.
You can't explain it.
The myth and religion are the same thing. It doesn't matter if I can explain it.
It doesn't?
The reason why I laughed is it sounded for a moment as if the guy thought, am I sitting here with a maniac? Is this guy mentally ill?
You're skeptical every day, and then you go to church and you get on your knees and you pray to an invisible man in the sky.
Invisible man in the sky.
You don't think that's a scam?
No, I don't. I'll tell you why it's not a scam, in my opinion.
All right?
Tide goes in, tide goes out. Never a miscommunication. You can't explain that. You can explain why the tide goes in.
Tide goes in, tide goes out.
See the war.
I don't know. The look on the guy's face, they're running it. In fact, it just so happens I got Oberfuhrer on right now, and he's rolling it over and over. You have to understand something. Oberman is equally, look, it's television, and Phil Hendry, we all are equally to blame. We all look like jackballs at least once, if not more so, in our lives. But O'Reilly seems to step in it more than other people. To say something as glaringly stupid as it was the U.S. Army that caused the Malmedy massacre, that is an unbelievably dumb thing to say. It's beyond dumb. It's almost criminally dumb. It's an insult to the Americans that lost their lives that day that were gunned down in the snow by members of the Waffen-SS. But then we have Michelle Bachmann, you know, who says that $200 million a day is what Obama was spending traveling through India. Now, I'm sure people can bring up examples of similar stupidity on the part of the left, but I'm really not talking here about the right or the left. I'm talking about prominent personalities. To me, that is a lot more. That's a lot more fun. I got to hear this again.
You're skeptical every day, and then you go to church and you get on your knees and you pray to an invisible man in the sky.
Invisible man in the sky.
You don't think that's a scam?
No, I don't.
I'll
tell you why.
A man that was built by a man.
I'll tell you why it's not a scam, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Here it is.
Tide goes in, tide goes out. Never a miscommunication. You can't explain that. You can explain why the tide goes in.
Tide goes in, tide goes out.
See the water.
I don't know. You know. See, we've said on this show...
Yeah, that one guy said he wanted to hear about everything, too.
What did you just say? What did
you say, man?
I said you should explain like that one guy wrote.
Oh, yeah, I'll explain. Well, you know, and Jace just reminded me, Glenn Beck said, why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s? That isn't, to me, that's a guy misstating, misspeaking more than not being bright enough. Why did we buy Alaska? I think what he was saying is, why did we make Alaska a state in the 1950s? I got it. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't think he really believes we bought, or at that time believed that we bought Alaska in the 1950s. I think it was a misstatement. It's one of those things I would have to, I guess I would have to hear the entire thing in context. But, you know, the argument, and I will do that, bud, you know, you talking about that.
You're not talking about that one guy wrote a letter. He said, hey, would you please explain that, what he called a deism?
Yes, I'll explain. What do you mean, deism?
Yeah, he said you got a good, you explained it and everything about it.
You talking about why we believe in God?
Yeah.
Who wrote in?
Some guy wrote a letter, said, would you do it?
An email? Okay. Well, here. I want to see that email, by the way. I want to respond to it, okay?
It was on Facebook.
Well, get out of here, will you, then? I'm telling people I respond to email to our website, and only email to our website. Now, we believe in God because it's in our genes. It's in our DNA. We believe in God because it's a belief that has been burned into the neural pathways of our brains for hundreds of thousands of years. We believe in God because even before we were human, even when we were in less than human and on our way to becoming fully human, when we were, you know, Homo erectus, or when we were what are you looking at?
What do you mean Homo erectus?
It's the name of a species of hominid that either we evolved from or was in tandem evolving with us. But the point is, we can't even remember when we didn't believe in a spirit world. That's how deeply ingrained in the human experience it is.
What was that thing you said about Neanderthal?
Neanderthals, this is a great example. Neanderthals are not humans. Neanderthals were they were also a hominid, less developed than human beings, that coexisted with us for a while on this earth. They were what we today recognize as the caveman, the classic caveman. You ever see pictures of cavemen?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a Neanderthal. I mean, humans might have looked that way one time, but Neanderthals were kind of hunched over. They were small. They did not know how to make spears. They basically hunted with shorter daggers. So, you know, their hunting technique was rougher. They didn't know about fishing. Humans knew how to fish. We even knew how to sew buttons onto clothes. Neanderthals didn't know these things. But one thing about Neanderthals, when they buried their... What are you looking all weird for, Robert?
What are you talking about? They knew about fish and we didn't.
Don't worry about it, okay? I'm just telling you. The Neanderthal buried its dead. And when they buried their dead, they buried them with artifacts. Now, this is a creature that was not a human, was less developed from a human, was, however, on its way to evolving to a higher level, and frankly, was not able to survive because it coexisted with humans, and we were better at hunting, and basically wiped out all of the food supply. So that the Neanderthal died out as the result of having to compete with humans for food source. But these were spiritual people. They believed in some kind of an afterlife because they buried their dead with artifacts. Okay.
Well, maybe they're the ones that believe in God, and we're not.
What do you mean they're the ones that believe in God?
They believe in God, and then they died out. And now that's it.
No, man. They believed in a spirit world, so did we, because we had tattoo. Get out of here, will
you? Well, you said that they put artifacts.
Yeah, they put artifacts. So did we. I'm just telling you, it goes so far back that there were hominids on this earth, that is, upright, walking, hominid beings like us, who also had a sense of some afterlife. Now, humans had a sense of a spiritual world for hundreds of thousands of years. The guy that they found in the Alps, you remember the frozen guy that you thought was so cool, bud?
Yeah, that guy was bitching, man. He found him laying, and they thought it was a dead guy.
It was a dead guy.
Yeah, it was a dead guy.
No, but they thought it was the guy just died or something.
Yeah, okay, the guy was like 3,000 years old, right?
Yeah.
They found that guy, and they got him to a laboratory.
Did they thaw him out?
Yeah, they had to thaw him out.
Yes, they thawed him out. You got to be careful, though, man, because you're going to destroy the specimen. But when they finally brought him back to the laboratory, they found tattoos. Now, this is a man that was 3,000 years old. He was some kind of a man trading between tribes on both sides of the Alps. He had a little leather satchel in which he carried what looked to be foodstuffs. He did have very rudimentary weapons, but he had tattoos. He had tattoos on the back of the knees.
Like right behind the leg?
Yes. And he was 5,300 years old. Holy God, that's 5,300 years old. That would put him at 5,100 years old. No, that would put him at 3,300 years old. 3,300 BC is what I'm saying. So in any event, this guy had tattoos in places that were not ornamental.
Well, what's that mean?
It means that those tattoos spoke to some other experience. Was it homeopathy? Were those tattoos there to help protect him from illness? Were those tattoos there to be seen or to influence some spirit world? Because they were not ornamental. They were not intended to be seen by other people. They were there strictly for the private use, these tattoos, of the individual. It also indicates some kind of a belief in something metaphysical. So for as long as we've been around, as long as we've been humans, we have believed in a spirit world. And for people to suddenly say, oh, well, God doesn't exist, maybe, but it is certainly our experience, and it's more to the point, it's almost in our genes that we do believe in God. So you can't just say to me, oh, I just decided one day.
Well, what do you mean you can do that?
I don't think so. All right, a UFC fighter wants to fight the president. We'll talk about that. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.